and via the internet. Let's just start off by saying God is so good to us. Yes, he is. And this school is special. And our apostle is special. You know, I just love the way he takes his time, teaches us, and pour out his life into us. And as an instructor, it's our responsibility to connect you to him. Understand that all of us flow from that apostolic grace that's upon his life. And I'm a beneficiary of the call that's on his life. My life has changed. My ministry has changed. And things are constantly increasing and expanding. Amen? Amen. This class is catching the waves of revival. Now, I know that I gave you instructions as we left last week to read the introduction and chapter one. I'm not going to take a survey. Normally, when I was in college, the instructor would say, read a certain chapter, and you would show up, and they'd pop one on you. Y'all understand? Yes. Called pop quiz. Yes. The quiz told what you did. Right. All right? But there's a lot of grace flowing in here. So let us begin. We're just going to rehearse some of the things we said last week and go deeper into this because one of the things I want to point out, you know, when we think of the word revival, especially when we use it as a church term, it almost seems like, you know, something new got to come out, and something new got to come out, and something new got to come out. But no, revival is a lifestyle. But it is going from glory to glory to glory. It's not a wave of something that just run out. Because whatever God establishes in the earth realm is permanent. Put it another way, he wants us to add to. Do that make sense to you? See, he wants us to add to it. A revival don't come and then run out. A revival comes to impact your life so that you are moving forward to the next. You follow what I'm saying? That's why it's catching the waves of revival. Waves don't stop. They just keep on flowing. Are y'all with me? So one of the things we say, now, what is revival? Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire in the earth realm. And as I pointed out last week, fire is a purifying agent. See, a lot of time, and we know that the scriptures teach us that in the world things will get darker and darker. But there is a church. Y'all understand? There is a church. There is representatives that God have in the earth realm. And it is our responsibility to make the kingdoms of the world subject to Christ. Occupy. If there's going to be any cleansing in the earth realm, it's got to come through the church. Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Huh? So we got to start seeing revival in a different light. God's heaven's fire, where at? On the earth. Now, I pointed out that heaven's fire can't be on the earth until it is first in the earth. In the earth. All right? So remember the prayer, Luke 11, 1 and 2. Read it when you get a second. But Jesus said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in, so in. All right. So if God's will is going to be done on the earth, if we're going to have revival on the earth, revival must first take place in the earth. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in order for heaven's fire to touch earth, we must understand God's heaven to earth government. God's heaven to earth government. Y'all understand? There is a government. According to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, the Bible says, it talks about, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It would seem to me like God's been trying to tell the church something. Y'all supposed to be running things. Y'all are supposed to be dominating. Y'all are supposed to be subduing things and make everything conform to my will. Quit waiting on me. I've completed my assignment. Now what I've done is I've given you the fivefold ministry gifts, which represents my government in the earth realm. So the first thing that we understand in this present revival, understand that you are a partaker of a present day move of God. This restoration of the apostle and prophet back into the church. Watch this. The first gifts he set, you remember say the first shall be last and the last first? Huh? All right. When Jesus built his church, the first gift he set was apostles. Come on. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Put it in your notes. You remember Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to build it and hell can't handle it. So if hell seems to be doing more in the earth than the church, it's because we don't have stuff governmentally set up right. Y'all understand that? Because if the government's right, you can't move against it. It's in place. Y'all understand? So God said when Jesus built the church, he set in the church, first of all, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Those are the first two that he set. Now watch this. They are the last to be restored. You understand? That which is first is last, and that which is last shall be first. So God say, I'm swinging the pendulum around. I'm giving you another chance. He's like Ezekiel. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. If you miss a season, hold up. He's coming back around. All right, so now you're in it. That's why God has called Apostle Thompson and has set him in the church as an apostle, because God is saying to his church, watch me. I'm bringing things back to divine order. Let's catch this wave. Let's participate. Are you listening? All right. So you have to understand God's government in the earth realm. Okay? And that fivefold ministry gift, apostle, prophet, and all of the gifts must connect to the apostle. That's why in Acts chapter 2, and something the church needs to hear, apostolic ministry is it got to be done the right way, God's way. Every ministry gift must connect properly to the apostle. Acts 2 talks about continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus trained these 12 men who he ordained to be apostles, and he said, when people listen to y'all, we're going to have God's government in the earth realm. All right? Okay. The second thing we said is you must understand the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the earth realm. Now, the greatest gift that God gave to us was himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father, and the Father going to send you another one just like me. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The greatest gift that the Holy Spirit gives unto us is our prayer language or our spirit language. You understand that? What is our spirit language? It is our ability to talk to God. The Holy Spirit giving us another language unknown to us, but known to God. When we pray in an unknown tongue, we don't speak unto men, we speak unto God. Are you listening? It's literally God talking to God through us. And watch this. It's the perfect will of God for all of our lives. That's the greatest. Now, these combination of things is going to help us to start flowing in the Spirit. Because the more you pray in the Spirit, the more accurate you can become. Mm-hmm. You won't have a problem with the apostle was saying. You listening? Because yes, you'll be in tune. Yes. You're tapping in. How am I tapping in? Through praying in the Spirit. So we must understand the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, the purpose of that is to bring everything back to God's original plan. God's original plan. Let's go back to Eden. and live the way God intended it for it to be. All right? All right. Now, this is something I wanted to emphasize to you. Each and every time we pray in tongues, the purifying fire of God is working in us. Remember? And Jesus said, John the Baptist said concerning Jesus, he who's coming after me is preferred before me because he was before me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with. Now, we talk about the power, but we need to talk about the fire, because the fire is a purifying and a cleansing agent. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It is the purge. Watch this. Us from dead works. Huh? And in turn, cause God's work to be in the earth realm. That's why the Holy Spirit is the spirit of burning, the spirit of holiness. Are you listening? Let all of us got issues, but praying in the Spirit is going to help us. See, this move of God is bringing back all things back to its original intent. See, we're going to be different. We got to live different. Y'all listening to me? All right. Now, let's keep going here. Revival is not a sovereign act of God, but rather it is the outpouring of God's Spirit in response to those who are hungering and thirsting for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Y'all understand? See, that's what revival is. One of the things I love about, I think I mentioned this before, Apostles' opening. He said, this generation. He said, you got to live on the cutting edge. Put it another way. You got to be fresh. Y'all know why you pray in the Holy Ghost every day? Huh? Because it's fresh. I believe when you set it in your heart to pray first thing in the morning, before I do anything else, God first. I want to talk to God first. That's the first person I want to meet with in the morning is him. Because if I meet with him, my day going to go right. I ain't got to worry about what's coming up during the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Won't know. I had a personal interview with him. He told me it's going to be all right today. I don't have to worry about no provision. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, how I'm going to be clothed. Because in prayer, I got it. All right, y'all got it? All right, now let's keep going. In this generation, we must be a people who know the times and the seasons of God and what we must do. We got to be a people who know what to do. Come on now. Most people in the church really don't know what to do. They just exist. Come on, y'all know most preaching is hold on till he come. Yeah. Now, come on. Yeah. When the Lord gets ready, things are going to change. No, this is watch kingdom teaching. Here's the difference. Heaven to earth. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You cannot become violent until you get your spirit language together, because it gives you access. Come on now. See, Ephesians 6:18, because I'm talking about moving into this realm of revival. I believe we're right in the midst of one of the greatest present day moves. Watch this. A revival is mounting behind the scene. And it, watch this, it burst on the scene. It's a suddenly. Oh, and by the time the enemy can look, it's over. Oh, I wish y'all with me. When the day of Pentecost hit, trust me. Do you understand when the day of Pentecost hit, the first time Peter preached, 3,000 people were added to the church? Wow. Yeah. 3,000, not 300, 3,000. Because it was a suddenly. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Now, Ephesians 6:18, what does it say?
Praying always.
With all prayer and supplication, praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit,
and watching thereto
with all perseverance
and supplication. supplication.
And supplication.
For all saints.
For all saints. Now watch this. Watch. Come on. Say revival.
Revival.
See, all revivals are preceded by much prayer, much intercession. When we see, God can't do nothing in the earth realm without us giving him the right to. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. What y'all think? God just do what the hell he want? Now, see, y'all don't like this, but hold up. Who did God put in charge of this earth? Man. It was Adam. He didn't put the devil in charge. It was through deception that Satan hoodwinked Eve, who hoodwinked Adam, all right, and gave all authority that man had over to Satan. Now, Satan has come in and did whatever the hell he wanted to. And God said, in order for me to get it back, it's got to be legal. It was taken from a man, so a man got to take it back. So God became a man. God became a man, went and took back the authority that man lost, and now ascended and took a seat as a man and said, now y'all go do what it was intended for you to do from the beginning, dominate. This revival is about dominating, going back to your original place. Oh, y'all looking at me. All right, okay. Keep looking. They're going to be some, listen, tremendous miracles will happen this year. Everything this year is accelerating as the apostle has declared. I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's going to be easier for you this year. Because this didn't just start. This thing has been mounting. And God, watch this. God wants to make an open show. Okay. Now. Revival, chapter 1. Revival is a divine attack on society. Christians who learn from revival history will more likely be compelled to repeat it. Christians who learn from revival history will be compelled to repeat it. Now y'all know what it say. The lessons you don't learn, you're gonna repeat those. Well, you can also repeat the lessons you do learn. Y'all understand that? So that's why this book is written, so we can understand revival in the earth realm. How did it come about? Are you with me? All right, watch this. We cannot boldly go where no man has gone, except we know where we really are and where we have come from. Now, I say this. I'm Captain Kirk, but Apostle is Captain Kirk. You might not like the suit in. But in order for us to boldly go where no man is gone, we have to connect properly. Y'all got that? You got to follow. You got to connect properly and follow. But you got to know, watch this, we have to know where we are. First thing on reading the map is you got to know location. You can't guess where you are. You got to know. I can't instruct you properly if you don't know where you are. You ever had somebody calling you, all right, where you at? I don't know. Well, I don't know either. I know how to get here, but I don't know how to get here from where you don't know where you at. I know that y'all think about it. Amen. You might know where you live, but let somebody call you talking about they don't know where they at, and you start directing them. How you going to direct them? They don't know where they are. And that's what God is bringing the church back to. So we are boldly going places. Boldly, watch this, under apostolic authority, taking back what the enemy has taken from us. Now, let's talk about revival. The closest biblical word to revival is revive. It's from the Hebrew word chayah, which means, now, who won't take the best shot at it? I say, Chaya. I don't have no idea. Don't hold me to that if you're online. Just let me give you the definition of what it means. Because, you know, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not a Greek scholar and I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But let me tell you what the word means. All right. The word means to live, to nourish up. It means to preserve alive. It means to quicken. It means to restore. It means to save alive. And it also means to make whole. Sound like salvation to me. Are you with me? All right. Now let's go through some examples, because when you follow these examples, I think it'll show you exactly what revival can do. All right. In Genesis 45, 27, it reveals that Jacob's flickering hope was realized when he saw Joseph's wagons, which came to rescue he and his entire posterity to save him from the great famine that was in the land. Now, you see, now, when you make this statement, if you're not acquainted with the story of Joseph, this don't mean much to you. But Joseph was his favorite son. It was the son of his old age. He had dreams of what God told him he would do. And he would share his dreams with his other 11 brothers. How would you like your baby brother to say, "I saw y'all bowing down to me"? Okay, all right. You the dreamer. You think we bowing down to you. All right. He always had a dream where his brothers were serving him or something. So they say, "You know what? We're a little tired of you." So daddy sent him with a message to come out, and y'all know the story, huh? They put him in a pit, took his cut, the coat, the many-colored coat that his father gave to him. Now, why are you hating on the favorite? It's the dad and the mama made him the favorite. The child didn't do that. It was the... Y'all catch up with that later. Gonna hate the child. But y'all know what they did. They put him in a pit, put blood, and went told his daddy they killed him. 16 years old, shipped him off, and he was picked up by some Ishmaelites and brought to Egypt. Right? Didn't know no language or nothing, but guess who was with him? God was with him. Who was with him? God was with him. But remember, because he was Jacob's favorite son, his heart was broken. The life was taken out of him. He didn't even want to live no more. He existed. You don't understand what I'm saying. He existed, but he wasn't living. Because his favorite had left. And here it is, years later. They say, "Joseph is alive." Now, could you imagine that? My son been gone for 20, 30 years. I haven't seen him in 20, 30 years. You telling me he was dead. Now you going to tell me he's alive. Look, pardon me, but I need to see something. Now, some of y'all faith folk, I'm glad they're talking about this, because, you know, we come out of word of faith. Y'all got a problem with what Thomas said. Thomas said, "Except I see and touch." So the faith people say, "Well, you know, that's not faith." Let me give you a revelation with your crazy selves. I'm talking to you online too. Put your faith book down. Because you need a God that you can see. And you need a God that you can touch. And who can touch you back. See, the Bible says the Jews require a sign. Y'all not listening to me. See, you didn't. I said the Bible says the Jews require a sign and the Greeks wanted wisdom. So God said, "I can meet the signs and the wisdom." So here's Joseph. Here's Jacob saying, "Man, y'all tell me my son alive?" But it didn't mean nothing till them wagons started coming from Egypt. He's alive. Now, here's what you also need to understand. Joseph told his brothers, "What you did to me, you meant it for evil. But God was working in this." He knew this famine was coming. So he needed to sow a seed. No, he needed to sow a seed. Because God believes in his system. So Joseph was sown as a seed into Egypt. Watch this, to preserve. So don't curse yourself, brothers. He put him through a little bit before he actually gave it to him. You know, he put it to him a little bit, you know. Okay, I'm going to help y'all out. But he understood that this was God preserving. So when Jacob saw that, the Bible says hope came alive on the inside of it. And so revival brings a special type of hope. Come on now. Come on now. I say revival brings a special type of hope. Revival starts from a small, hopeful conviction that we will see the glory and the power of the living God. See, hope. You got to have hope. Come on now. You lose hope, it's over. But if you just got, yes, that's all God needs to work with. You listening to me?
Yes, sir.
But this is the good thing when it comes to God. God gives you a hope that's assurance. What do you mean? Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is God the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? Come on now. Have he said it, shall he not do it? Jeremiah 1:12 say he watches over his word to perform it. He hastens to perform his word. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 talks about faithful is he who told you to do it, and faithful is he who will do it. So what I'm saying to you is, you have assurance. You have a supernatural hope. Y'all remember Abraham's testimony. Who against hope? Who against hope believed in hope? Now that sounds crazy, huh? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations? Watch this though. According to that which was spoken. With God, all you have is his word. Are you listening to me? But hope that comes from God is supernatural and has divine backup. Are you listening to me? Now, y'all hear Apostle talking about, you got to understand the process, right? So you can make some progress. Well, hope is a process. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope, we understand when you say hope, that's talking about the future. Is that right? Because if you're hoping for something to be done, what you're saying is, it ain't done yet. But that's not what God talks about in Hebrews 11:1. Because the hope that God gives us is a already done thing. Oh, yeah, I'm going to help y'all here tonight. See, faith doesn't connect to hope as though hope is in the future. Faith is based upon what God already promised you. So faith is the substance of things hoped, H-O-P-E-D, not future tense, but past tense. I have to believe because God said. And so faith makes hope a reality because it's based on what God had said. And what God had said is already done. So the process of faith is what we must understand. Say the process.
Process.
Say without the process, there's no progress. So here's the process of faith. Never forget it. Write it down. Hearing. That's the H. The process of faith is rooted in hope. H-O-P-E-D. hearing. You got to hear from God first. But hearing is not enough. After you hear from God, you got to obey. See, after Abraham heard God, he obeyed him. See, you got to be willing and obedient. After you heard, you got to be willing and obedient. All the miracles that the Bible talks about that took place, somebody obeyed what they heard. The blind man, go wash. The man who was laying down paralyzed, take up your bed and walk. You listening? They had to do some obedience as an action word. So the process of faith is in hoped, hearing, obeying, patiently enduring. That's the P and the E. Patiently enduring. Did y'all see that? Yes, see, the Bible says after Abraham patiently endured, the promise was delivered. That's your hope. Hearing, obeying, patiently enduring till the promise is delivered. You don't get that in Bible books, though. When you operate in faith, that's what you're operating in. You took the time to pray in the spirit to hear from God. God gave you instructions, you obeyed him. You got to patiently endure because the enemy going to attack your mind and everything saying it ain't going to happen. God told Abram, I promise you seed. Abraham tells God, look, you ain't gave me no seed. God say, what you mean? When I told you, when I made promise to you, when I made promise to you that through your seed all nations of the earth would be blessed, that was my word. And my word I can't break. I can't go back on. I'm a covenant keeper. If I told you I'm going to do something, quit tripping. If I told you, no, not your prophet. Because see, we got talking prophets who don't got a God word. See, they just talking out of their intellect. They ain't took no time to pray to hear from God. They trying to get spiritual. Baby, I'm telling y'all something. A true man of God that's speaking from apostolic and prophetic authority, if they tell you God said something, you look, take it to the bank. Yeah. 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 And here's the next thing. You don't have to do nothing to make it happen.
That's right.
You see, your confidence got to be that your man of God is hearing from God. So God told Abram, what are you talking about? From the moment I met you and told you, then y'all want to know why you got to patiently endure? Y'all want to trip. This ain't McDonald's. See, in revival, we got to understand these processes. The reason you have to patiently endure is because for 25 years, he will walk around like God didn't do it. But God said the process of patiently enduring is to get rid of you. To bring you to the end of you so I can get you what I promise you. So it ain't the devil been in the way. It's you.
Come on, Pastor.
See, now we talking about, see, what people understand in revival there is restoration. We got to get rid of this microwave Christianity and start understanding that God has already done what he promised. You just walk in the process out. You got to look bad before you look good. You got to understand the joy that's set before you so you can endure some crap. People lying on you, talking about you, saying, what you serving that man like that for? Why are you giving him all your money? Are y'all with me? So, revival, flickering hope. Any of y'all got hope? I want to be debt free. Yeah. I want to live this life debt free. Yeah. And you know your job don't match.
That's right.
No.
The only way you can get there is you got to have a supernatural hope. Right. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Here God waits till he's 99. He don't have no seed to sow. And then Sarah, 90 years old, she don't have no eggs to fertilize. Then God show up on the scene and say, okay, now you're going to have the child. Revival. Tell somebody revival. Revival always shows up at a time when it don't look like it can happen. So here Abraham don't have no bullets and Sarah don't have no eggs. Come on, talk to me. And all of a sudden, here come God saying, here God say, you're going to have the child. Sarah say, Sarah say, Abe ain't doing nothing. I ain't got nothing. And here God told me, we going to have something. Y'all, what y'all laughing at? I'm trying to show y'all. See, that flickering hope came. Now, let me also see, that's why you got to obey and do something. Because just because God told them that it was coming, we should think they went at the bed at night talking about, this is the day that the Lord had made. No, they had to do something. There had to be some intimacy up in that. So at 99 years old, they were cutting up. Even though it didn't look like nothing was going to happen. Yeah, I better stop. I'm not getting fired. Now, children, we got more, so much more to cover. Keep reading chapter 1. And we'll try to do a better job of getting to the end of, go through those examples. All right.